Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation! The squad is back with most of us, myself, Brandon, Rob,
yo,
no ice.
No ice. He's a maybe he's just late. We don't know.
Show up for the last 10 minutes for the score and the analysis.
He could pop in. He got the link. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's never, it's a possibility. He could pull up.
He could. I got his, he gave me a score and stuff like that. And he asked some questions. Man, you know what we do out here? We debate anime, we talk anime, we talk our shit. Sorry, I'm a little thrown off.
I'm gonna say, man, it's the early morning. We don't normally do this.
It's a weekend. It's like we are off our groove. Yeah.
No, don't say we. Keenan is lit. Look at Keenan right now. This man is not prepared.
No, I'm prepared.
I mean emotionally, sir.
Man, bro, you gotta understand what of course, Chadwick Boseman, man. And more on the side, I just found out that Clifford Robertson just passed away. If you're a basketball fan, you know who Clifford Robertson is. He played for the Portland Trail Blazers. He was only like 52, 53 years old, man. So, like, another quick moment of silence for him. Bro, that Chadwick Boseman shit hit.
That fucked me up, man.
We were together yesterday when we found out, right, Keenan? Yeah,
we were like, Brendan, I just found out, and I think Brendan was like, is this real? Like, this, I was like, man. And I won't get into too much stuff about why it affected me, but he has prostate cancer, and it's just like, that's like a thing. And
I thought it was colon cancer.
I'm sorry. Colon cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer are different?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies. It's very similar to something that somebody has in my family. And so it just was a different emotional, thing for me, but also too, just the type of actor he was and then him having it for as long as he had it. It was just like, he put out all this work still, great work, classic work.
At the peak of his career, man.
Really?
Yeah, he was on top of the world right now.
He really was.
It's like, he had all the best things coming. Like, he literally represented like the black superhero to the entire generation. Like,
he had the first black samurai movie coming out. And if you know anything about that story, that's like,
oh, I do know about that story actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I forgot what his name was called, Yusuke or something like that.
I don't remember.
But he was
there's a book about him and all that.
Yeah. And I think actually at one point, a buddy of mine, Chaz actually, I think he was going to try to write something,
Nah, man, fuck Chaz. Chaz has no good name on this show. Like, every time his name comes up, fuck Chaz. That's what the synergy is. Fuck Chaz.
Hey, all right.
Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, he's the reason we watched that shitty show, Blades of the Immortal, and he can kill it. I mean, he can fuck himself, is what I'll say. I'm not
like gonna, I said, we're in the minority with Blades of the Immortal.
I don't give a shit. Fuck Chaz.
But man, that was the thing. It's like, you know, Chad, we put out some great work. I was a big fan. He embodied a superhero in different ways, and yeah, man, it was good. It's actually kind of great because not that he passed, but like. Well, you know, the love he got for Black Panther, you know, like when that movie was coming out, like the love, I mean, I watched that movie in theater like 5 times and it sold so well, but he got like the Black Panther movie and the love it got, I guess was well deserving. And I hope he kind of took that praise in too, that, you know, that was love for him and what he did in that role. Cause I'm guessing he had it then too. You know, that was 2018.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I've read, that, you know, during all this, like even Civil War, you know, his first appearance, he had that. I mean, he's played so many other great roles too, like James Brown,
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. He even played a Syracuse legend. He played Floyd Little in The Express.
We don't really need to talk about that. That's fine. You know, even though he is a great actor, all his things don't need to be
And I didn't see that yet, but I heard it wasn't bad.
Nobody cares about Syracuse is the point.
Just Brennan doesn't care about Syracuse because he's petty.
I was going to say, I don't have an issue with Syracuse. I'm a huge Carmelo fan. I love Carmelo's run in Syracuse.
Man, all those championships he's won in the NBA are crazy, man. He's a legend.
I mean, he's a basketball legend. He's going to be a basketball Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer, four-time gold medalist, best in the world, you know, holds records in the Olympics.
He'll be like Charles Barkley, the guy that always be like, man, that was a good run that you didn't win the real thing to win.
I mean, I would say possibly...
He's not gonna win.
Okay,
I bet whatever you want.
No, that's cool. Brennan wants to sit up here, you know, and just rob somebody of his accolades because he didn't get a ring, you know. But you know,
isn't
that's
that
cool.
The
he's
whole
done
point?
So many other things.
Isn't that not the whole point?
So many
of
other
NBA
things.
NBA
he's won champion. He's won world championships.
Yeah, but
he won the college championship.
Team. It's just like, oh, who invented basketball? Americans.
No. But here's the thing: he didn't play on a stacked team and win.
Yes, he did.
He was the Bro, he was the leader of that team. He's
oh, you're talking about college? You mean
team.
Amateur sports?
No. I said that USA team, Carmelo led that team in scoring.
No, it's cool. It's Brennan wants to tear people down for shit that he's never done. So it's no problem.
Let me tell you something.
Stuff that he'll never do, he's going to take away from them. From some petty ass shit that I've done. And he's talking about not watching a movie about the first black American that won the Heisman Trophy because of some petty shit about me. So that's cool. That's where Brennan's at.
Wow. First of all, that's shitty as hell, Brennan.
I fully agree with everything Rob just said.
Why would you not watch the first black Heisman that
do
won
Do you
something?
Understand how petty Rob is about Syracuse? Like, he's making it sound like I'm all the bad guy.
No, but here's the other thing, too, is that Brennan will come at me and be like, yo, Michigan State, you know, University of Michigan. And then, like, no, dude, you didn't even go there, all right? You went to Oakland.
Time out. Every time
they come to the Dome, they get fucking stomped on. So you got to adopt other colleges to try to back you up.
See?
You got to try to go to somewhere
record.
Else.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. You want to talk about
that's
petty?
Not petty, though. That was
That is petty. No one asked him anything about what he just said. He brought it up because he wanted to bury me.
Here's the
because
thing,
I'm burying
though.
A player that he likes.
You can't be respected in that realm because nobody that fucks with Michigan State will ever mention Michigan like that. They don't like each other.
Fam, where are you from?
Hold on, let me do a quick Google what happened in the last time Syracuse and Michigan State played. Oh yeah, it was in the tournament and then fucking Michigan State got bounced.
It doesn't matter where I'm from. I watched college basketball and I was a huge college basketball fan, so I understand the rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State. So
the rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State does not compare between Michigan and Ohio State. So, like, if you want to talk about rivalries in the state of Michigan.
That's fine.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, a lot of times there are a lot of people who are just like, hey, you like one, you can't like the other. But there are a lot of people who do like both teams, especially people who don't live in the state
anymore. And nobody respects them.
Nobody. Because I guess that's fine that you believe that. But, I mean, I would be somebody who would say, yo, like, if you have a good reason for it, for example, you don't live in the state anymore, so you want to cheer for the in-state teams, then maybe you can respect that. But, you know, you wouldn't know about that because you haven't lived in a state you weren't raised in.
Man, Brennan is just going looking
for his win, no matter how he can get it.
I'm going to be petty, bro. Anytime before noon, I got no love. None.
You're trash. Anyways.
I love you guys.
We'll continue in Death Note episodes 7 through 12, right? This show is what it is, man. This is why I like it. This is why I feel like it's considered up there in the top tiers of anime without any action, really.
It's just funny to me because you're like, how could this get any more intense? And they're like, hold my pen.
You know watch him eat these chips. Watch him eat this bag of chips.
Like, yo, I'm gonna make a high schooler sitting in his room eating a bag of chips interesting. Like, that's not impossible. They're like, okay, watch.
You're like, bro, everything about... If this wasn't written, and I know this should have been in my, you know, my rant at the end, but I'll just say right now, if this wasn't written as good as it was, goddamn. Because everything, all the elements has this to be trash.
If you think about it, anyway. If you just think about what we're watching right now, like we just said, like we watched a whole episode of a high schooler sitting in his bedroom, talking to himself and his imaginary friend, eating a bag of chips. And we're like, that episode was incredible.
If you presented that to an anime, like to a person that didn't watch this before, was like, yo, man, he's eating a bag of chips.
It's so intense.
Like, all right, man.
It's so intense when he eats the bag of chips.
Get the fuck out of my face right now.
I just figured like some writer was just like, how do I make what I do every day seem intense?
I thought this would be a challenge.
You're writing shit.
This is a challenge Rob would love to take on. Somebody's like, okay, I need you to write. Like, take what you did yesterday. I want you to write that down. All right, now turn it into something epic. Go.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, gosh. But yeah, go ahead, Rob, lead us off 7 through 12.
All right, stick with me on this one because there's a lot of details in this. I tried to get it down to its bare essentials. So here we're going to go from episode 7 to 12. So Light, last we left off, he's continuing his cat and mouse game with Naomi, you know, Ray Pember's fiance or former fiance. And he tries to kill her with this.
Damn, Rob.
I'm sorry, dog.
You talking about me being, me being heartless in the morning? Go on, Rob. Damn.
I didn't mean to laugh at that. I'm sorry. Go
Damn.
Ahead.
Damn.
But he tries to kill her with Stuart Page at the Death Note. But as we know, she was smart enough not to give him her real name, and it doesn't work. And Ryuk, the Shinigami, is just standing by watching and laughing, knowing the truth about what's going on. At the secret police meeting, L has put all his trust in the remaining officers, knows they're none of them are Kira, and shows them Watari's true identity, kind of like his Alfred to his Bruce Wayne in a way. They pass out badges with fake names to hide their identities, along with belts to help them communicate with L when they're in the field. Light figures out that the name from Naomi must be fake and considers his options. Like, should he take the Shinigami eyes? Should he try to jump her and like steal her purse to get her ID? But instead, he divides this very complicated lie.
A complicated lie. Yeah.
He tells Naomi that, hey, listen, I'm part of the investigation, and just to try and head her off. But she reveals that actually she knows L. Like, she worked for the FBI back in the States and worked on a case with him back in, I think she said L.A. Back like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So she's like, I think there's a pretty good chance he'll talk to me. So where most people would see a dead end there, Light uses this against her and invites her to join the team, saying like, well, clearly you must already trust you. You give me like your ID and your name, like I can put in the good word. And after some convincing, she decides to trust him, saying like, hey, you know, you remind me a lot of L. And she hands over her ID completely willingly, revealing her name. And in a moment, Light Ruth writes down her quote unquote suicide onto the Death Note.
That was
and
sad.
Reveals to her that he is Kira. Unbelievable.
I was cold, so sad.
That was blooded. That was the most gangster move. And you see how intense they made that? Because he said, I am Kira. And then they didn't kill her off fast. They didn't make her move fast. They let you sit there and be like, wait, is it even going to happen? Because it was like a good 20 seconds or so.
Yeah.
And then she turns and goes, I got to go. I was just like, and I, even though I've seen this before, I was just like, damn, the rehashes. I was just like, woo.
I was sad. And Light too, just calling after, like, where are you going? You ain't got nothing to say? Like,
he's a petty asshole for that, dog.
That was fucked up.
You know, we can take you to my father real quick. You know,
he's calling. Oh, he's calling. God. What you gonna do?
But compelled by the Death Note, she can only walk away to her death as one of the police from the task force that just passes her by, but face is covered by
of course, that was so unnecessary to have that whole thing of the police force guy walk by. It's like, you just adding shit. They're just like, how can we make everything more intense in this moment? Like, we're going to add the actual guy that could save her to be within feet of them. Why not?
Brutal.
It's an anime.
So next episode, L and the police are continuing their investigation, looking at footage from the subway station where Ray Pember died. And L notices the envelope that Light gave him to write the names of the FBI agents, as well as Ray looking at his murder on the train. And he figures that, you know, Kira must have been there. Light, meanwhile, plans out the death of the criminals long in advance, just sort of as an insurance policy, just in case he's out of commission for a few days. The deaths won't stop and he won't be implicated. And he also sews pages of the Death Note like into his wallet, like just in case. But suddenly, L gets a call about Naomi's disappearance, and he quickly connects the dots back to Ray Pember and his own connections to her and figures this is not an accident, even if it was meant to look that way. And he knows that Kira must be somebody Pember was following, either somebody from the deputy director general's family or somebody from Yagami's family. And Yagami is incredulous at first, but agrees, hey, full surveillance in my house, whatever will like exonerate my family from this. Let's just get this over with. So Light returns home as the police force watches. At first, he suspects nothing, but soon notices he's left a bunch of indicators to let him know if somebody's been in his room. And he finds that they've been tampered with. And like Ryuk's trying to talk with him, he's just ignoring him. And so far, L is not entirely suspicious. When he's sure he's not being listened to, he tells Ryuk about the bugs and that they'll have to watch or have to switch up their habits if they don't want to get caught, including Ryuk having to stay away from his apple addiction.
That apple addiction is hilarious.
It's real. He's like, I'm going to go through withdrawals, man. Come on. Light tells him, like, if you want your apples, like, you're going to have to find those cameras, find a dead spot where you can eat in peace. That's the only way you're going to get that.
So he's using the Shinigami, bro. Using them.
Yeah.
clever way to get them to help out. At home, Light tries to appear just like a normal teenager, doing homework, looking at porn. But if anything, Elle finds this suspicious and performative, like it's too innocent. And even later at dinner, when a news broadcast goes out about the Kira investigation, Light tries not to react, even points out that this whole announcement about a 1,500-person investigation has got to be a bluff. That night, as he's being watched, he pretends to study while actually filling in the death note from a news broadcast he watches from inside a bag of chips, totally unnoticed.
Which is so, how can you write with both hands at the same time? Get out of here, bro.
That's insane. Ambidextrous, bro.
Damn, talented guy.
Couldn't do it.
The next morning, he throws a small TV in the trash just to get rid of the evidence, even though it cost him $400. despite this, Al says that the Yagami family appears too innocent. The next episode, Light and Ryu continue to evade detection from the cameras in the house. Light will watch news broadcasts and then memorize the names to write in the book when he's out of the house to avoid detection. Elle tells the team that he's ready to take the surveillance out of the house. He's learned nothing, but is still suspicious of the families. He thinks to himself that, you know, he hopes that at some point he'll get to know Kira and Kira will confess his identity to him. That's his ideal scenario. Which will lead into what kind of happens later on in this episode. Ryuk lets Light know that the cameras are gone and treats himself to an apple on his way out the door. And Light goes off to his college entrance exams. And at the test, he's doing well, but is distracted as another student is chastised for the wasting in his chair. And when he looks back, bum, 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 we see it's L sitting in the same testing hall.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get a quick cutaway to the Shinigami realm where the other death demons wonder what Ryuk is even up to. And then we get a quick jump in time where it's Light's first day of college. Both he and L have been named class reps for having perfect scores on their tests. As they give their speeches, people are intrigued by both of them as total opposites. But as they sit in the audience, L leans over to Light and chats him up, getting to know him and his interest in becoming a police officer, and then suddenly drops a bomb on him, revealing that he is L. Dropped a bomb on him. And Light, that fucks with him massively. He's just struggling not to react as L just stares him down, trying to like microanalyze his reactions. And yeah. Light wonders what he should do. Like, he knows that L must be going by another alias while at school and knows if he puts him under, and this is putting him under extreme scrutiny. And when he gets home, he has a full on freak out. Yeah, you know, Ryuk offers him the eyes again, but Light's just like, this is all just a trap. And if he kills Al now, then it'll look totally suspicious. But as he spins out of control, eventually he kind of comes to a realization that causes him to laugh, that realizes that the police must be desperate and that they have absolutely nothing on him yet. And he resolves that this will be a battle of wits between him and his new classmate. And eventually, if he has to, he will kill Al with his bare hands. Next episode,
my money's on Al in that fight, for the record.
He looks scrappy, you know. Yeah. I agree with that. He looks like he's probably been in a few fights. Light's a little bit too much of a pretty boy.
pretty boy motherfucker, they bite you anyway.
So Light and L are testing each other in a game of tennis. It's a test for L to understand Light better and see if he might be Kira. And Light's aware of this and wonders if he should throw the game to make it look like he's not as competitive as Kira, but in the end, he goes for the winning shot. And after the match, they go out for coffee and L tells him that he suspects him as Kira. He's just fully upfront with him. But he also wants Light to help join the investigation, even if he might be Kira. And for next step, he like gives him this test. Light agrees to some testing. He shows some of these messages from Kira and asks him if he can decode it, which Light obviously does. But L throws in this extra message just to sort of trick him, throw him off balance, see if he has a reaction. But he's able to kind of get around that, and L just gives him the gives him the actual invitation to the team. It's a tense moment, as they're kind of wondering, you know, sizing each other up. But they get a phone call, both of them at the same time, that Yagami has suffered a heart attack. But of course, this is not Kira related. Nope. And Yagami has survived. They both go to the hospital to see him, and Yagami confirms to Light that is L. Light's at this point like, okay, my dad's saying it. This is the guy. And Light swears to catch Kira and asks L if there's like anything I can do. Is there anything I can do right now to prove to you that I'm not Kira? But L only says that, you know, that's only going to be revealed with time. So as L leaves, Light wonders about how L said that, you know, Kira is cursed with this power. And Ryuk says that most who know Shinigami come to know misfortune. But Light says, you know, I'm happier than I've ever been. But, you know, elsewhere at a news station, a package arrives with several tapes and a letter from Kira demanding they be played on the air. And as the investigative team in the next episode, they're discussing the disappearance of Naomi. Watari tells them about a news broadcast going out with these Kira tapes. And on the tape, Kira proves his power by killing news anchors at other stations. And L demands that somebody just go and stop the broadcast. But the station's not answering their phone, so one of the officers just heads right down to the station in person. On the tape, Kira continues talking about their vision for a new world without evil and their resolve to kill anybody who stands in their way. You know, if you disagree with me, just stay quiet and you will be spared. As the officer arrives at the station, he just drops dead of a heart attack immediately. L stops the other officers from leaving, fearing they could be killed as well, and instead arranges a plan with the deputy director general. Kira goes on saying the police have 4 days to answer if they will cooperate or not. And while that happens, Yagami escapes from the hospital, steals this huge truck and just drives it straight into the news station. Holding the producer at gunpoint, he demands the tapes be taken off the air and given to him. Outside, as this is going on, more police officers are arriving and just dropping dead. And as Yagami gets ready to head out there, there's a barricade of trucks and riot police that are there to protect him. And he gets out safely, bringing the tapes back to L. L watches the tapes and learns of Kira's conditions. You know, listen, like, if you cooperate, you know, just have L and the police, you know, come on TV and announce that their cooperation. But if it's no, you play this other tape. And there, Kira says that he'll just punish them by killing the deputy director or L and gives them another 4 days to decide. Elsewhere, Light is watching all of this go down, and we learn another shocking twist that he's not doing any of this. This isn't Light. There's another person out there with their own Death Note who sympathizes with him and is impersonating Kira. Even more shocking, this person has made some sort of deal to get the Shinigami eyes and doesn't need to learn somebody's name to kill. Hence why they were just dropping all those cops right outside the TV station. Light is intrigued, but it's just like, I got to get rid of this imposter before they tarnish Kira's reputation. They're killing too frequently, too recklessly. They're killing innocent people. And he knows he has to get into the investigation to discover this person's identity. The other allied nations of the UN are just like, L, like, you got to go on TV, man. Like, we're not, this guy is holding the world hostage for you. And like, yeah, like, that's not a price they're willing to pay. But L is saying, like, I'm not doing that for an imposter. He's already figured out that this is somebody else. This doesn't match the pattern of, you know, the killings that have come before. And so he's just like, you know, we need to bring Light on. Obviously, he's going to help us out. But let's keep him in the dark about the second Kira. And elsewhere, we get a quick, you know, an introduction to this other girl who has the Death Note, this girl, Misa, and her Shinigami. And she's just, all she says is that she just desperately wants to meet the real Kira. Light is finally brought on board in this last episode. He's brought on board the investigation and has shown the tapes just to see what he makes of it. And he recognizes this is a test, but confirms, you know, hey, there's got to be a second Kira. This guy's not acting like the original. L seems satisfied with this, and his dad, super proud over in the corner, just like, that's my boy, you know.
Your boy's a killer.
He is. That's going to be a tough, like, I can't wait for that to see what happens there. To counter this, they decide to make their own Kira tape, a fake from the original. But funny enough, they pick Light to write and say the speech. And in the speech, Kira announces that the imposter will be allowed to live, but only if they stop taking innocent lives. And Misa, the imposter, is thrilled and just makes her own response. And which they get at the police station. And she just says, hey, I'm ready to cooperate with Kira fully and, like, let's meet. But she also drops a bunch of hints for the police that they didn't know previously. Specifically, she says, I don't think you have the eyes yet. And when we meet, let's prove our identities to each other by showing each other our Shinigami. And these last two revelations just sort of shake everybody in the room to their core. Light, that, you know, she would be so bold to reveal all these things. And L, because he's just like, whoa, Shinigami, like, are real? Like, he's starting to, like,
can
realize
maybe
this is...
Can you imagine how mad you would be if you were Light at this moment? Like, you just gonna tell everybody. Like, that's...
Like, you... He... This is... This Light has composure. Because I would be like, yo, oh, my bad.
sorry about that, guys. I had a sneeze. Totally.
Don't worry about that.
That was a sneeze. Yeah. But the team talks about their next step, you know, which appears like Al says, we should do nothing. Let the real Kira, whoever that could be, try to expose himself as he hunts this imposter down before the police get him. Elsewhere, Misa finishes a modeling job and hears a story from her Shinigami about how they smuggled another Death Note out of the Shinigami realm. And it turns out to be this whole story about how Misa's Death Note used to belong to the Shinigami, who actually had fallen in love with her from watching her from this other dimension and saw her being stalked and was about to be murdered in an alleyway. And he used his Death Note to save her, which totally breaks all these like bylaws of what the Shinigami are even supposed to be about. And the dude just turns to dust. And so apparently this other Shinigami was just like, well, I thought you should have that Death Note. And and the other part of that is now Misa, all of that Shinigami's remaining years were given to her. So it sounds like she may have some sort of unnatural long life. Who even knows how long ago this was? But because of all this, the Shinigami gave Misa her guardian Shinigami's Death Note. And later, Misa goes out for a drink, the same favorite cafe of lights that we saw him talking with Ellen earlier. And the two of them sit in booths nearby one another, just wondering when and how they're going to find each other. And that brings us to the end of episode 12 and our run on Death Note this stretch.
God damn, James Russell, you one hustling son of a bitch. Sorry, that's for my money talks. I'm sorry. man, this shit. I don't know. It's like when I was watching this for the first time, I was just like, how could this get any better? And I think they did a great job writing. We're going to get to the questions. We'll start off with some fun light stuff. Do you love any food as much as the Shinigamis love apples, Britta?
Hilariously, I know this. If Ice Epstein was here, he would have he would have something to say about this or some kind of theory to come along with it. But my answer is actually apples.
That's true. Actually, he does love apples.
You love apples that much, real?
I don't know. Thanks, Rob.
He does. And I can comment on that. Go ahead, Brendan.
No, I love apples. The funny thing is I didn't realize how much I loved apples until I was like 25, 26 years old when, you know, somebody asked me in front of my brother, you know, it's like, Brendan, what's your favorite fruit? And I was like, I think mango. And my brother like had a conniption fit. He's like, are you kidding me? Shut up. He's lying. Like, why would you even lie about this, Brendan? And he went on this whole this whole rant and just taught me so much about myself. And I was sitting there just like, huh. You're right. I never thought about it that way. He was just like, your favorite desserts, Brendan, name them. It's like, everything was apples. Like, every time I go to your house, what do you have in your fruit drawer? You always have apples. Every time you go to a grocery store, when you buy apples, like, everything is always apples. There's no way you'll ever find Brendan without an apple. Like,
What kind of apples? Green, red, yellow? Or does it matter?
It matters. I'm just watching Rob's face right now.
I'm just taking us all in.
It matters. I mean, I grew up like not really caring. But then as I got older, I've developed that there's literally actually like hundreds of different types of apples. So I've learned what my favorite kind are. Like when I was probably in my early 20s, my favorite was a Fuji apple because it was my grandfather's favorite apple. And he put me on that. It's a very sweet, crisp apple. And then after that, I discovered a different type of apple that was the most expensive apple I've ever bought. But still the most consistent I buy now at this point is called an Envy apple, which has the texture of an apple, a very crisp, very big, juicy, sweet apple, but it also has the aftertaste of a pear. And it's really good for baking and they're just really big. They last a really long time in the refrigerator. Like they're just a win no matter what. You can leave a Fuji apple in the fridge for 2 weeks and it's just as fresh as when you put it in. I mean, not a Fuji, I'm sorry, an Envy apple. But yeah, that's my favorite kind of apple.
I can totally corroborate all of that, having stocked our office with food from time to time. Brendan is always just like, make sure there's apples in that fruit basket. Make sure there's apples.
Go ahead, Rob.
For myself, this is low-hanging fruit for me. Pizza, man. I'm a huge fan of pizza. I could just, like, anytime somebody's just like, hey, you want to go for pizza? I absolutely be like, yeah, hell yeah, every time. Yeah, let's go. Let's go right now. I love that shit.
I think that's based on where you're from, for the record.
What's that?
Everybody that I know from Syracuse loves pizza, for the record.
Oh, because, I mean, it's New York in general. Yeah, like, the state of New York, we love our pizza up there. I think I was probably brainwashed by the Ninja Turtles. Like, that pizza they ate on the cartoon just looks so good.
It did.
But I was even recently watching a new show, Andre and I were watching this show. I think it's called Crazy Delicious on Netflix. It's just a cooking show. It's like Willy Wonka World or whatever. But one of the chefs on there was just like, pizza is my favorite food. I love pizza. And I'm like, I get this guy. Me and him, we are the same. And so like anybody that shares a love for pizza, we have common ground.
There's a bunch of like animation fans right now just like rubbing their hands like, I'm going to meet this guy one day and we're gonna have some pizza together.
We're gonna have a slice.
Mine was pizza before. Like, I'm not vegan, but I'm pretty much vegan. So vegan pizza is not the greatest. There's decent vegan pizza out there, but I haven't had a vegan pizza that's been as good as regular pizza. So I would have to say chocolate chip cookies. Like, I found some, and I've always been a chocolate chip cookie fan, but I found these vegan chocolate chip cookies at Whole Foods. And I can destroy bags of those if my lady wasn't like, you gotta fucking chill. Like, limit it to like two a day, if anything. You know, chocolate chip cookies are like my shit. I can eat them all day. I will rot my teeth. I've had chocolate chip cookies for dinner, and it's been like, I'm not eating regular food. I'm just gonna eat this for dinner today. I don't care.
I remember in middle school, they used to sell these things that they called 75-cent cookies that were like just this thick, that they just, the only the top layer and the bottom layer were actually cooked, and the whole middle was just like cookie dough. I used to fuck those up, bro. Like,
Yeah.
Those sound incredible.
Tony hit me to these other ones at a Whole Foods, like this red uncooked cookie dough, is cookie dough or whatever. It's this red container.
He said Tony is not some famous human being. He means Tony Baker, the super famous
Tony comedian. Tony Baker,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
And
it's his cousin.
He hit me to this. everybody thinks. And I just eat that out the little bucket. Like, it's so damn good, man. So yeah, I would say chocolate chip cookies would be my little Shinigami little snack if I was a Shinigami. Next question. Let's see what I wanted to ask. Well, all right, so if you're the news guy, what are you doing in that situation? Are you giving up the tapes? Because I'm sure Kira or the fake Kira was like, look, you get these tapes up, you're fucking dead. And then a cop comes in, well, get these tapes up or I'm killing you. I ain't going to lie to you, man. I might have to get shot. Like, I'm not giving up those tapes as easy as, oh, no problem, man. Bruh, Kira can clearly kill me. So I'm going to die either way. I'd rather fight trying to die than just to give up and die easy. So I for me personally, his pops is in the hospital. Like, he's coming from the hospital. He's not in the healthiest state. I'm beating his ass. I would have whooped Light's father's ass. And I would have been like, all right, next broadcast, y'all. Like,
try to scare him a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Try to give him a second wave.
Playing these games.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough call because you're absolutely right. Like, if I'm the producer, I'm thinking, like, he's probably Googled my name. He sent this to me. Yeah. He knows exactly who I am. You know, I know that all they need is a name and a face. Yeah, I'd probably fight that a little harder, too. I'd at least make him, like, get a shot off first, like, just to make sure that he's serious before I gave that tape over. But otherwise, I'm hanging on to that because, yeah, I'm sure there were stipulations like, if you don't put this on the air by such and such a time, like, yeah, it could be curtains for me anyway. So that
curtains
would be.
Or, yeah, or even kill your family. Like, I'm not going to even kill you. I'll make it even worse for you. I'll kill your family. I'll kill your daughter, your son, whatever.
Yeah. No, Kira absolutely has the power to make your life worse than death. So, you know, totally. I would probably not give it over as easy as that guy either. No.
Brennan?
Guys, let's take a moment here. Let's consider all the options, okay? For me personally, I've taken a couple acting courses before, and this is the moment that all of that would accumulate as I would get very flustered, I would get very upset, and then I would faint.
You would just faint, but the
just play
are,
dead.
That's my strategy. I'm not gonna get shot. I'm not gonna get killed by Kira. I'm like, damn, he was weak. Wow, couldn't handle the pressure. That's terrible. Like, what, you gonna kill me for that?
I might like try to scramble like for a few other tapes. Like, how many tapes we got around here? Like, yeah, here's the tapes.
Faint. Brennan faint. That's to let y'all know. Like, there's a no win scenario. I'll be like,
We were lucky that this Kira isn't as smart as the original Kira. Because giving up those tapes, you know, if that Kira would have knew, they would have killed him regardless. So even if you fainted, it wouldn't have mattered.
I'm saying that, like, in that moment, like, I would do exactly as this newscaster did until that truck hits the offices and stuff. And then in that moment, I'd just be like, faint. Done. Like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Coward.
I don't care. Call me what you want. I'm going to live. My family's going to live.
People going to live. If Brennan ever faints, I'm going to be like, he's just pretending.
In a life or death situation, like, how do I not make a decision? Like, oh, I know, by not being conscious. You know, there we go.
Well, like, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, aren't there videos of kids out there, like, getting in trouble and they just, like, pretend to be asleep? Just like.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I know you're awake. And the kid, like, opens up their eyes and checks. So, like,
actually, I have a very funny story about this, if you guys don't mind. This actually happened as adults for me. I worked at Walgreens. And I was a pharmacy tech, and then I became a manager at Walgreens. And I was on shift when this happened. So there's a pharmacy manager and then there's other pharmacists. And the way that a lot of the shifts will work is that there'd be overlap between the pharmacy manager working with the other pharmacists for probably like an hour or two, just to be able to make sure everything's going well or whatever. And one of our pharmacists was this woman who did not like the pharmacy manager at all. And I love the pharmacy manager. Like, I call her like one of my mamas. Like, she was incredible. Like, I loved her. She worked hard. She taught me a lot about the pharmacy. Everybody loved her except for this one pharmacist that nobody liked. And she was always so difficult. And then one day, I wasn't in there when this happened, but I was the one who got called in after it happened. Apparently, they got into an argument. And the pharmacy manager's like, get out of the way. I'm just going to do this. And literally just move, like, brushed her out of the way. And she did this. And like just fell out onto the ground. And then it was like, oh, like just fainted as if she could not get up and do that. So like I get called to the pharmacy and the pharmacy manager just like doing her job. Like, because people are still needing prescriptions. Like, it's a busy pharmacy. Oh, she's like doing her job. And she's like, yeah, can you handle this? And I was just like, what happened? She's like, I don't know. You can ask her. She's still awake. Hilarious. And I was like, the pharmacy technicians are just working over top of her. Everybody's just working while she's laying on the ground. And I'm just pretty like, dramatic. I just looked down, I was like, am I supposed to call an ambulance? She was like, sure, call the ambulance. So I call the ambulance. An ambulance comes, the paramedics come in, and they're just looking at her like, she's awake. Like, because she's laying back like she's asleep. She's like, wait. They're like, oh, but don't worry, we have a thing for this. And what they do is they have this little thing they put on your hand that shocks you. And if you're actually unconscious, you wouldn't react to it. They shocked her and she woke up and peed herself.
Oh, wow.
And then she went back to fainting. She was like, ah, ah, ah. And just like, oh, and then fainted again. So then they were just like, I was just like, take her out on the stretcher. I don't care. Take her wherever you want to take her.
Get her out of here.
Get her out of here. They're like, whatever, we'll take her out. We know she's awake. So they like wheeled her out on a stretcher. And I had to go to court for this. Like, I had to go to so many different things. Like, it was so stupid.
Wow.
But they're like, what are you?
I'm sure she must have wound up with a hell of a bill for all this too.
Oh yeah. I think I don't know because I didn't get to be a part of what ended up happening for it, but I'd be willing to bet because like they asked in my testimony is like, what do you believe happened? And I told the story just like I just told y'all. I was like, she fainted she faked the fainting because she didn't like her. Like, that's what I believe happened. They're like, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Edwards. I was like,
that sounds like, I mean, I think all you gotta do is go on YouTube and Google Karens right now, because Karens are doing that bullshit too. They're doing the whole like, dog bit me, and it's just like, bro, I have you on camera, my dog's right here, like, what are you talking about?
Karen compilations are the best videos on YouTube.
They're hilarious on YouTube, bro. Alright, so in a situation, there's been a few situations where light probably should have took the eyes. So do you think I should have took the ideal from the Shinigami, Rob?
There was a few times that honestly Light was able to think himself out of a situation I don't think I would have been able to think myself out of. I got to tell you, both, like, maybe not when he was on the street with Naomi. I'm like, maybe at that point I just would have tried to steal her purse and just like run into the alleyway and write that shit down real quick before she got it, like, or she got anywhere. But after L came and like confronted me and told me, like, I'm L at that like college ceremony and I'm going home, I'm taking it. Like, I'm taking the eyes. But like, you know, cause that's me. I probably wouldn't be using the Death Note as Light would be using it anyway. But at that point, I'm just like, even if this guy's lying to me, like, I gotta know. I at that point, I'm taking it. You know, I think at that point, like, I have to, I'd be, it's like arrogant not to in that way that he's like, no, I'm going to figure this out.
So wait,
I'm
you would give up half your
highly
life?
Arrogant.
Half your life?
At that point, like if I'm light and I'm responsible for the death of untold numbers at this point, and I've got like a full on task force looking for me. Yes.
For the record, I'm taking Kenan, it. I know his answer to my other question now. I know his answer to my other question.
For me, oh man. Yeah, I might have took this deal earlier.
The first time he brings it up to Kenan, like, wait, what? Yo.
Because here's the thing. For me, I might have took it as early because I'm thinking of like, all right, how short is my life anyways? Right? So I don't even know. You're cutting off half your lifespan. Ryuk already knows this. He already knows how long Light's going to live. So he's probably looking at his head like, bro, hey, man, take it, man. You only got like... whatever about time to live anyways. So that would make me hesitant. But I'm similar in the way of Rob, where I probably would have strong armed her. I'm not gonna say what I would have did to get the purse. But I already got that purse. And wrote that name down. Other than that, once Light hit me with that, L hit me with that, I would have said something cold word to Ryuk to give me the eyes right there, but oh man, you're L, huh? That's crazy, man. Right in my little notebook. You would have died right in my face. I would have been like, hey, somebody get this guy, man.
Something's happening.
Something's happening to him. So I would have took the deal. Light's a better person than me. Clearly, he's one of the smartest people in Japan.
Clearly.
I'm not. I was a C student, so not as good as him.
Right? Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, for me, I guess you guys are really defining the question the way it is. So I guess there's, like, for me, I'm kind of looking at it like, well, if I was Light, then obviously I'd try to think my way out of it. But if I was Light, then I would have made the decision Light made. I probably would have taken it. I don't want to say that. Like, I don't want to have taken it. But at that point, right, when Light's like, yo, like, when I realize, like, I'm fucked, like, I just be like, well, I mean, what's the second half of what I have left really anyway? You know what I'm saying? I would do my best to trick the Shinigami into telling me how much life I had left. That's what I would do.
And that's how smart Light is. I think with all the stuff, what was going on with the apples and other stuff like that, he probably could have been like, all right, man, tell me how much time I got.
Yeah.
If you really want these apples, tell me what time I got.
I don't understand why Light has to be the one to get him apples. I don't understand that. Like, he can float around and fly and do all the things he wants to do. Why can't he just go to the market and just eat the apples off the fucking
just
market?
Just steal some.
Yeah, I don't understand why he doesn't do that. But, you know, like,
there might be a restriction. I forgot.
Maybe
there might
be a restriction gifted.
Where he can't. Not gifted, but they probably can't float around once somebody has that death though. They probably had to stay locked on to them pretty much. Mm. Is what I'm guessing.
But he said he's like, I just cleared this whole area of 100 meters of you.
So clearly he can go somewhere. I don't know. Maybe it is a possession, he's just like, if it's not his, he can't touch it. I don't know. But yeah, that's a good question. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to just like
get apples,
go to the store and pick himself some
apples.
Every
time he walks by a store, he just grabs an apple. Like, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. This is actually one of Ice's questions.
Who's the biggest bitch on this podcast? Yeah.
That's great. That's great, Rob. That's one of his questions. So one of his questions was, could you see yourself making it as far as Light has?
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to answer so quickly.
No, go ahead and answer, Brandon.
No. Hell no. I am not as smart as this kid. Like, that's what makes the show good, is that you're like, okay, he's fucked. Okay, he's fucked. Like, that's the whole show. Because you're like,
12 episodes in, what episode do you think he would have made it to?
Maybe three.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as they did that broadcast episode, that broadcast episode where he's like, yo, this actually was only in Japan, that'd be it right there. I'd be like, give me the eyes. I'm going down with the ship. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that'd have been it. They'd have got my
Everybody. They
would have got my ass with that broadcast, and I would have freaked out. I'm like, this motherfucker's smarter than me. That's what I'd have said. And now, like, you smarter than me for sure. If he talked to me through that TV, I'd be like, all right, well, that's it.
The anxiety that anybody would have,
yeah,
right now with going through the first four episodes of this shit, I'd have been like, bro, this, who am I going? And then my dad is a fucking cop on top of that. Like, I understand using that to your advantage, but at the end of the day, I'll be freaking out,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with Brennan.
Yeah.
4 to 5 episodes tops.
Same. I'm out of here. Same. Like, honestly, I'm with you guys. I definitely would not have made it as far. Like, as soon as, like, he told me, hey, somebody's following you, that first pitch when he was just like, somebody's following you, and I got these eyes, I'd be like, yeah, let me get that. Let me get that right now. Mm. I don't think I would have conducted myself in the same way if I had I don't think my plan with the Death Note would have been the same as Light's. But if I, you know, if I'm in that same situation, no, I'm not getting as far as Light. I would have been caught at pretty early on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think Light, he went, and I think maybe I would have went in the sense of like, all right, let me just try to get all the bad people out of here. But I wouldn't have went as far as like to kill as many as he did. Like, he wrote down mad names in like a handful of days.
He made too much noise.
Well, like, that was his point. He was like, I want the world to know I exist. Like, I never would have done that. That's a decision I never made.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have gotten caught because I wouldn't have wanted people to know that I existed. I'd be like, people just dying. That's crazy.
Play it slow.
Yeah, he's very arrogant, and that could play, maybe or may not play into like his downfall, because I think that's for me. I was going to ask you too another question. Do you think he has a weakness? And I think that's one of his weaknesses is his arrogance.
His ego, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I think that's really it. I think other than that, he doesn't have a real weakness. He's very intelligent. He's a handsome guy.
He's a sociopath.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, does he have any other weaknesses?
He probably has a weak jaw.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's a pussy, bro.
Because he can play tennis?
I don't know.
Nah, I think just because, you know, maybe even the way he's raised, he got a dad as a cop. His dad
doesn't pay attention to him.
He's trained to be a police officer. Like, maybe he's fit. Like, clearly, if he plays tennis as well as he does, he's got endurance. Like, he can probably run.
He's considered one of the best in the country in middle school. I don't think he's as trash as
I'm just saying. I'm not. All athletic. I'm saying is, show me anything outside of him being able to like hit a tennis ball, like punch that little tiny gent, that little tiny chin right here. What happened? That's all I'm saying.
I don't entirely disagree with you, Brennan, because I do agree with what you said earlier. Like, if it came down to a fight between L and Light, I think L would tear his ass up. Mm-hmm. You know, like they say in Fight Club, it's like it's the scrawny guys that you got to look out for because they just like go crazy. I think L would go fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's gonna bite him. He's gonna like, you know, like he's gonna do all that. Like,
he's gonna fight dirty. Yeah.
And I think L, he has like a super. He looks like he's super lanky. So I think he's just gonna have that reach. He's fighting barefoot. Anybody that's barefoot all the time, they're not afraid, bro. He probably got some MMA type skills. He's gonna wrestle him down.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But, next, go ahead.
I was just gonna say. I agree. Yeah, arrogance is his biggest flaw. Like, you know, that's what's interesting about his character and a lot of characters that, you know, their greatest strength can also be turned against them as their greatest weakness. And I do think at some point he's going to say too much or say the wrong thing or think he's got the edge on somebody and it's going to get flipped on him and it's going to be over.
Yeah. Now I'm curious to read up on the new Death Note that just came out. And I want to know that does he learn from Light's problems and goes about it differently in a sense of like, I'm going to go about this in a smaller way instead of trying to just scale it up and kill everybody.
Again. Try to be a god or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there's no show if he doesn't do that though. Because otherwise it's just like, what? How is anybody even going to know he exists? And, you know?
I mean, now that they know that this thing is real, if people start dropping, anybody that dies, they might just be like, is this...
Yeah, I know, but it's like, but also a heart attack, man. People do that shit, especially if, like, imagine if this was in the United States, we'd never find Kira, like, ever.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Business as usual.
We wouldn't even notice, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, it feels like a lot of people are dying of heart attack, but no.
That's the same as it was yesterday.
Yeah, it's no different.
What you would do is you would kill everybody by how the natural causes are. So I think what black people, they'd be like, all right, high blood pressure, hypertension, high blood pressure. Like they gonna write us in like that and be like,
it's too easy. It's too easy with the black folks.
Yeah. So next question. Would you kill someone who's innocent to maintain your freedom if you were guilty? Brennan?
Can we see Rob answer this first, please?
Are you gonna Rob answer it first? All right.
I'm breaking the format of the show.
no, I already said I know his answer. I just want to hear it come from his mouth.
I
Your silence, Rob, is
I want to say no.
You want to say it, but what are you going to say?
I want to say no. I'm going to say no.
You can't say no. You said yes already.
What do you mean I said yes
earlier
already?
Earlier on, he asked you, would you like, what were we talking about, Keenan, when I said that? I know what his answer is.
Oh, would I take the Shinigami eyes or whatever?
Yeah. So you can kill
that's
L.
If I'm in,
so you can kill L. L has not hurt anyone. He's innocent. L is innocent. And he's going to expose your guilt. And you said you would kill him.
If I'm light, yeah. But if I were in that situation, I probably wouldn't have got that to that point.
No, but oh my God, I hate you so much. You can't say if you were light, you'd be making the same decisions as light. So there's no point in that discussion. We're saying if you were in that situation, what would you do? And you said I would get the eyes and kill him. That's what you said.
I'm just saying, like, my consciousness is transported to his body in that moment. Like, it's like they take you through the ride to that point, and then it's just like, all right, hit pause, switch minds, and I'm just like, holy shit, how'd I get here? You know, I'm like, oh shit, give me the eyes. All right, all I'm saying is,
It sounds like it depends on the situation. That's what it sounds like.
It depends on the situation. It definitely does. Like, are you talking like
you're guilty?
Probably the people investigating me. Yeah, probably. But like, just like somebody walking down the street that just like maybe saw something they shouldn't have seen. Like, I don't know. Maybe I can talk my way out of that.
No. You are guilty. You have done things worthy of you going to jail for the rest of your life. And this person who is innocent and has not done anything guilty has to die so you can stay free. Are they dying or are they living?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to prison. Thinking about it that way, no way. I'm doing anything I can to stay out of prison.
Because you're not even getting life. You're getting the chair. You're getting the death penalty, whatever.
You still got to be in prison like 20 years before they kill you.
Long time.
They usually make you wait for that shit. Oh,
but you might be actually good in prison. They might be like, yo, man. Oh, no, wait. My bad. Never mind. You actually killed a bunch of prisoners. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. You're getting fucked up, Rob.
It's not going to be good. I'm not going.
All right, so Brennan, answer your own question.
Same as Rob, probably. I mean, honestly, it's like everybody's self-preservation. Like, I'm no different from any other humans, like self-preservation. Like, especially if I was older, if I was like 70 or some shit, then I'm like, yeah, I'll take this. I'll take this next 10 years in prison to not kill an innocent young person or something like that, for sure. But I'm 33 right now, like, I got plenty. I like to believe I got plenty of life left to live, you know, like, and I want to live it. So if somebody else, you know, like, I don't know you, some innocent person is going to put me on whatever. Like, nope. Sorry. I feel bad about it. I'd regret it. I'd lose sleep.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, but I'd still be free.
Yeah. that would eat at my conscience.
Yeah. But you still be free.
So let's ramp up your little fucking question then.
Why does that be my fucking question? Like, okay. All right. How you feel though, Keenan? Jesus.
Let's say you had to kill somebody you're close to.
How close?
And that's
how close? Like, is it like family members? Is it my brother? My
brother?
No, I'll die.
Or
if it's my brother, I'm dead. I'm done. It's over. If I was guilty of something and he had to die for me to stay free, I'm dead. Done.
Yeah, so I'm talking about like in that range, brother, mom, immediate family.
I'm dead.
Yeah, I can do that.
Dead. Stranger, they're dead. Person I know that I love, I'm dead. Very easy.
I don't know.
I could never. Well, in both cases, so I answered both real quick because I didn't answer. It would be hard for me to. I would definitely kill them off if to be innocent. Not family part, but the innocent person.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me personally, too, I'm like, man, I would feel like shit, but it's like I don't think anybody else doesn't take that deal. I think everybody takes the same deal that we're saying. They'd be like, yo, to maintain my innocence, they're not gonna even know either. You gotta go. I'm sorry. I'm gonna feel like shit. I'm probably gonna never get over it. Now, when it comes to family too, like a brother or a father, mother, nah, man. Like, it's just like,
what if it was wait, how about a grandparent?
A grandparent, like even with that, I would have to like highly think about it, and it would probably still be no, because it's like,
I love you, grandma.
Even if they don't have time to live, it's just like, bro, like
brutal.
I believe in like going to either heaven or hell.
I would,
so I'm like, bro, there's no way. There's no way you're going to heaven, bro. You killed your fucking grandmother.
Yeah, but once you get
the death note, you can't go to either place.
Yep.
You know that already.
So you, well, you're in purgatory pretty much, right?
Yeah, basically, it sounds like once you get the death note, you can't go to either heaven or hell. You just get stuck in purgatory.
Nobody changed everything.
Nah. Yeah. No punishment, no reward.
The only reason I say that I would be okay with possibly killing a grandparent in this situation, which sounds like the worst sentence I've ever said, is simply because I would wonder what my grandparent would want me to do. That's the only thing I'll say is, like, I would be like, my grandma would be like, she would never forgive me if she was like, wait, my grandson gave up his life so that I could live another 7 years. Like,
yeah, but if that, yeah. Your grandchild is also a mass murderer at that point.
But,
so, like,
but look at it through the eyes of your grandmother, but he's still my baby, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
You're saying.
I don't know. I don't think I could kill a family member.
Yeah. It'd be, that'd be very, that'd
even
be
if they were like on their deathbed.
That's different.
Yeah.
If they're like in hospice care, that's like, if anything, that's like a mercy killing at that point.
Yeah, Brennan, now we're changing the rules, Brennan.
Sorry. And like, you didn't change the rules. Holy shit.
I know. Just right, like, they died peacefully in their sleep. Like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If they're dying of pain, I'd be like, they died of no pain.
Yeah.
They died during orgasm.
That is, all right.
That's something.
We're getting out of hand here. All right. Next question. So Light, he dropped a lot of money on that TV, man, about $400, just to kill some petty criminals. Was there anything that, and then threw it away the next day, was there anything that you bought that was super expensive that you either tossed the next day, lost, or you only used once? Rob?
I got a couple quick examples of this. One of them is just sort of like, when I first moved to LA, you know, I got a couple jobs, like mostly internships, and you know, I just finished like my first job, my first PA job. Like, I had some money in the bank, but I didn't know like when I was going to get the next one. So this was around like the holidays, and I bought my plane ticket home. And, you know, this is during the holidays. So this plane ticket back to New York is like a few hundred dollars. And yeah. I didn't have much in the bank. So I was just like, well, I'm not buying flight insurance. Like, I'm not spending that extra money. And then, like, the next day, like a day or two later, I get a call from my old boss from the other show. Hey, do you want to come on? We're starting like next week. And then basically I wasn't going to be able to keep the original ticket that I had. And I just had to eat that. Like, if I wanted the job, I had to basically bypass my plane and just like let that shit go. And I just basically had to eat like a $200 loss. That hurt. That hurt so bad. And I have bought flight insurance every single time. Every single time after that. The only other time, this is real quick, only because I think Brennan will appreciate it, is that in college, you know, I was in film school, and I was just like, you know, mom, dad, like, I really think I need this editing software. You know, this was the time when Final Cut Pro was like the thing. And so like they were like, all right, like, we'll help you out. This is an investment. We're going to get you. They got me like this big like box of like the Final Cut Pro studio, and I got it, and my computer couldn't hold that shit. And so I was living with my roommate, Tony Valentino, at the time, and we were making projects together. And he was just like, well, I think I got room on my computer. And so I immediately gifted that to Tony, and Tony got that Final Cut Pro. And I like to look at that as the Fonda family investment in Transit Pictures, and brought it to this day. Helped Tony make all those projects that he made in Syracuse that led him to LA. So I'm taking fractional credit for that.
Did you?
I didn't
you
know this
gifted
story.
It to him? Like, he didn't even pay you for it at all.
No. I was like, hey, we're working on projects together. I can't use this. Can you cut it? Like, can you put it together? And he's like, yeah, sure. But then it was on his computer. Like, when he moved out, it went with him. Like,
oh man,
that was tough.
I didn't know that story.
Yep.
When he moved out here, did he move out here? Did you move out here years later after he did, or did he move out?
No, so we came together. We came like it was like four of us on like a 3-car caravan. But like Tony and I lived together in New York, and then we were roommates for a while. Then he went off and lived somewhere else for a bit, and then we stayed friends. And then when it was time, like when I got out of college, we all were like, "All right, let's go to LA." And then we all came out here together.
It was you, Tony, Bob.
And then Tony's girlfriend at the time.
Ah, okay.
Brennan?
Can't think of nothing. The closest thing I could really think of is like, I invested in a musician one time. He was like, he posted on Facebook, was like, yo, because he's super talented and I grew up with him. And he posted on Facebook, was like, yo, somebody gives me $500 to help me get this guitar right now, in 5 years, I'll get you a fucking car. And I was like, this dude is so talented. And I was working at Walgreens at the time. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to do it. So I gave him money. Never to hear from him again.
Damn.
Oh, man.
That's a killer. That's tough, man.
Yep.
I don't know if it's necessarily, I guess it kind of goes with this, but I was, I don't like to call it a pyramid scheme, but I was like, I invested in a multi-level marketing project.
Oh, pyramid scheme. Okay, cool.
And it was like it was convincing because it was like an energy drink one. It was like, this is when energy drinks were popping. And it was just like, well, we're a healthy energy drink. There's no healthy energy drink. And so you can invest in it. And I put mad bread in it. And I did not fucking put the effort in to get my money. So I just had cases of energy drinks at my house. And my brother just drank them to stay up to pretty much cram for studying for his master's. And he was like, hey, this shit actually works though. So he was like, he was impressed with the product, but he was just like, but he never bought any himself. And it was like, I probably spent over close to like a G.
Oof.
Yeah. While I was in college.
Oof.
So I never received any bread.
Just for anybody listening, just understand that. For Kenan to say while I was in college was a long span of his life. This wasn't just like a few years. There's a long, lot of time in there, guys.
Still, though, I can't remember a time I was in college that I had $1,000 in the bank. You know, like I was always scraping by.
Well, luckily, like I had military grants. It's like because my dad's in the military. So his military grants pretty much covered my tuition. So when I got my grants and loans, I pretty much was able to pocket that.
Hmm.
So it was like, that's why when I got that check, it was like, cool, that's going to be my rent money, my PS2, my PS3 money, you know what I'm saying, my clothes. And yeah, that shit never, I still to this day, because I have a shirt.
To this day.
I have a shirt.
Sorry, couldn't help it.
I have a shirt with that company still on it. And so every time I put that shirt on, because it's a dope shirt still.
$1,000 shirt.
Pretty much. It's a fucking reminder about how I spent $1,000.
Hilarious.
So this is kind of like a two-part question. If this is really happening in our time, in our era, would your reaction be with this whole Kieran thing? And would you post anything on social media? Would you be talking about it going crazy on social media about how it was going on? For me, if this is happening in our era, I'll, the conspiracy theory minds would start to roll and be like, man, this has probably been going on for hundreds of years. This is probably how they kill people off. So nobody was ever really dying. It was actually somebody writing names. And it's probably this big old wall of shit that they write names on and shit like that. So for me, I'd be like, damn, this is like, I finally feel like this is what death really is.
Mm.
There's no real, maybe my mind is going everywhere, but I'll probably be like, are we actually immortal? And this is what's keeping us not immortal, because they got to write these names. You got to keep a certain amount of people dead, or you're sacrificing, you know, people to keep whatever. I think when it first happened, I'd be like, damn, this is crazy. But I wouldn't be posting anything negative on social media, because I don't need this motherfucker to be like, oh, Kenan think he funny with these jokes. Let's write your little name in this death note on stage performing a sexual act out. And then I fucking just get murdered right there, get my head blown off like in a Joker movie or some shit like that.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's how. Rob, what about you?
Man, if this was happening now, I'd probably be, you know, just with the state of things the way they are, I'd probably be like, damn, that's crazy.
2020.
Yeah, like just another added to the list of that's 2020. But I'm with you. Like, I probably wouldn't. I mean, I don't post much on social media as it is. I probably wouldn't say much anything, especially if this guy's out there like sending messages like, hey, if you disagree with me, just stay quiet. I'd stay quiet. And I'm not entirely sure I disagree with him. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'd probably just be like, oh, shit. Well, I hope he gets the right ones.
Brennan?
Probably about Rob. Probably about the same. It's just like, I can't imagine that, like, in real life, in person, I wouldn't be able to, like, resist making jokes. But I can't imagine like being like in any kind of like social media, like even I probably would slip up occasionally and just like say something on social media. But I don't think I'd be like, let me tell y'all my rant and my whole opinion about blah, 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 or post some memes and pictures. Like it, I'd be like, nah, man, we don't even know how motherfuckers killing people. You know, like, yeah, so like, yeah. The power of God out here. I'm like, man, I'll probably start living right. Right her.
As an addendum, like I just know at some point I'd probably have some bad day watching like the news and like some politics shit would be going on and I'd just tweet like Akira, take this man.
Yeah.
Just like you know, like some shit like that. But I certainly wouldn't talk any kind of trash about him. I'd be way too scared for that.
I think at that point it makes you even question religion.
Yeah.
Cause you'd be like, was there ever a God? Is this person whoever has this particular thing in order, are they the God or they made that whole thing up?
It feels like the power of God for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I might make this the last question. Do you feel as that when you're a kid, you're smarter than an adult, smarter than adults? Brandon?
I was the smartest kid to ever live in my mind. I was like, adults are dumb. I was watching all the shows like.
You seem like it, bro. You have a look on your face right now like.
I'm just, no, I mean, a lot of it was like the shows that I would watch growing up. Like watching like shows like the Rugrats and shit. Like these kids and everywhere were always just so much smarter than the kids. Like, what was it called? The kids in the treehouse.
The kids next door.
Yeah, the kids next door. Shit like that. Yeah. I was just like, or we watch Home Alone. Like everything we watched growing up showed kids being the adults in the room. And so for me, I was just on board. I'm like, I'm a Toys R Us kid as well as one of the kids that would be able to do the Home Alone shit or the Kids Next Door shit or the Rugrats shit. I am that child and I don't care, you know, like adults be on some bullshit. So, you know, like I was the smartest. I was just like, if I ever needed to, I could do all of it. Obviously, I was completely wrong. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just believed it because it was like, not only did I just feel like I was a smart little kid, I also was just like, everything I watch tells me the same, you know?
I think, you know, it's funny, like, I agree with you, but not from, like, cartoons. I agree because growing up...
Home Alone is not a cartoon.
Well, Home Alone is not a cartoon. Movies are cartoons. Fiction, motherfucker. my dad lived by the whole adults are right, children are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated that shit. And because I would sit there and be like, as a kid, I'm like, this adult is wrong. Like they're lying to my dad's face right now, and I'm getting in trouble because my dad doesn't believe children. This is the stupidest shit in the world. Mm. So I saw that a lot growing up. I saw a lot of adult arrogance because there were adults, and I always prided myself in like whenever I have children to listen to my children, like really listen to my children and try to understand them and see where they're coming from, not be like, I'm adult. I said so do what the fuck I tell you. I know it's probably going to get to that point because kids ask a lot of fucking questions. So just do what I tell you.
Right.
But I'm going to try my best because I understand that kids are highly intelligent. And also, too, they don't have a filter at a certain age. So their learning capacity until you start to pretty much put ideals on them is unlimited, to be honest. So I would say, yeah, kids are, in certain cases, they're smarter than adults. Rob?
Yeah, I would agree with that situationally. I definitely remember times being, you know, as a kid where I was looking at somebody older and I was just like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
I would say for the most part, I was pretty respectful of adults. I don't know that I was entirely on the same level as Brennan, where it's just like, I thought I was the kid from Home Alone or anything like that.
I was 100% him.
But there were definitely times for me, it was more about like personality and like how I vibed with that particular adult. Like, you know, in the classroom, like there were teachers I just like got along with and respected. And like we had like a mutual respect. I wanted to learn from them. And like that was cool. And then there were some teachers just like day one, like we just didn't, like I could tell, like we just did not vibe. And I made the year difficult for them. there were teachers I just did not get along with. And, you know, there were other times adults like, you know, just when I was just like a teenager, just doing stupid shit at the mall. And like, I had no problem mouthing off to plastic cop, like plastic badge security, like officers at the mall.
Cause I never did like, that. I know.
You don't have any kind of real authority. Like, what are you going to do? Ban me from the mall from a month? Like, all right, there's three more here in this town. Like, no problem. Like, whatever. So yeah, there were definitely times that I thought I was smarter than the adults for sure. But I would say overall, mostly I was pretty just like ready to listen and be respectful.
Yeah, I actually have one more question. This is the last question. I should have actually asked this with my would you kill a family member question. Do you think Light will kill his father to stay innocent? I think it's hard for me to answer because...
Yeah, you guys know what happens.
Yeah, so Rob, what do you think?
I think he will. I think that's going to happen. And I don't think he's going to have that much of a problem doing it, honestly. I feel like... we've said several times that he's just a sociopath. And I don't think he values anybody more than himself. And I think he will do whatever it takes to get to his vision, because there's certain people that are just like, they see themselves as destined for greatness and won't let anything stand in their way. And sometimes that can be a positive thing. You know, people really like strive for something, even like with recently with Chadwick Boseman, like he had challenges and he strove for greatness and he was able to change his life and the lives of others in a positive way. But then there's other people that will just drag others down to step over them. And I think Light is more the second kind, that will step over others to prove his greatness rather than just being who he is. So personally, I think it will come a time where he will have to make that call, and I think he will make it.
And you know what's crazy? I haven't really seen Light put out any core values, really, like any boundaries that he wouldn't cross.
Yeah.
Which agreed. Is actually like, he's probably one of the scariest, I wouldn't say he's one of the scariest. Maybe he is one of the scariest antagonists if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. Like,
if you can call him an antagonist. I think this show muddies the water between protagonist, antagonist, and how that entire relationship normally would work. I think it really does.
It's funny. I want to have Cam on the show at some point, because I was talking to Cam yesterday, and he has a really good opinion about it.
We should have had him on this episode. I'm so mad at us.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We should have, because I told him yesterday we got to have you on. He's like, yeah, man, just let me know. And I was like thinking about bringing him on the end, so I should have brought him on this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I just think he doesn't have any value, so I don't know if he has limits to do whatever. I think he might even murder, this motherfucker might even murder his little sister if he had to.
I can see that, too.
I don't think he's opposed to that.
I don't think he has love for anybody but himself.
Yeah. And I think if he could murder Ryuk, he would do that shit too.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much the end of the question portion. So let's get into our likes and dislikes. I'll go first. Well, let's knock Isis out first. Pretty much, he said.
It's trash.
He said the first 3.5 episodes pretty much put him to sleep.
Course.
And then the back half of them kind of put him back in. He's not blown away by Light's and L's back and forth right now, as he was last week, but I'm still excited to see where it goes. Overall score 7,000.
Okay.
I agree with his score. I don't agree with the first 3.5 episodes being slow. Like, literally, it had you on edge because this chick about to figure it out, and he might need the eyes. I don't get that. So I think all these episodes gave you something. They might not have been as good as the first 6, but I don't think they were slow by far. So yeah, his overall score is 7,000. Mine, I'll go. I really didn't have any issues. I think the pacing of this show was really, really good. So that's why I can't agree with Ice. I think this is some of the better pacing that I've seen in an anime in a very long time. I'm enjoying this the second time around. I normally don't watch a lot of anime fully from top to bottom again. After I watch it, I just go find my certain arcs that I like, and I rewatch those arcs, or I rewatch certain moments. I normally don't watch from beginning to end like that, because it's like, I hate knowing. But this right here is giving me that.
Did you just say I hate knowing?
Oh, here we go.
Did he just say I hate knowing? This is the man who likes spoilers?
The camera work right now.
That's all I gotta say. That's it. That's all I gotta fucking say. Please, please continue, Keenan. That's all.
You're saying.
That's
you're
it.
Saying.
Nothing more.
What I mean is,
just fucking move on. Clean this up. Let's move on. Ain't no cleaning up that shit.
Oh my god!
All right. So, anyways, we're gonna delete that. Hopefully. But like, I really, it's sometimes it is tough for me. Once I've seen the whole thing, so that's, I guess that's what I mean. Once I've went through the whole thing from beginning to end, I don't feel like I should have to watch the whole thing from beginning to end. The reason why I can enjoy spoilers is because it's like, now I want to see how they got to that. So that's, I guess that's what the difference is. So I don't really have any really bad things or negative things to say about these six that I've watched. Fuck you, Britton.
No, fuck you, so, you hypocrite ass bitch.
So for me, personally, my score is going to stay around like a 7,600. Which I think I gave it a 78 last week. I believe I did. Mm-hmm. Forgot. But 7,600. Brennan?
I'm not going to give my biggest like or dislike. In all honesty, I watched the first 3.5 episodes of this run because I remembered it all and I've just been really busy. But it stands up. Like you were saying, Keenan, it really stands up. I don't understand how Ice fell asleep during those episodes. Unless he was just doing the objective look, like what we were talking about in the beginning of this episode of like, he's just eating a bag of chips. Like, but if you truly understand the context and can put yourself in that situation, it's just like, this is brilliant. It's very interesting. Like you just can't, it's one of those, this is that show that are just like, there's no way that you can keep this going. You just keep having that thought. And I think that's what Rob actually said last episode. He's just like, I don't know how they're going to keep this intensity up. Like they're going to have to do, there's going to have to be something. And it has not dipped. It has not dipped at all. They just keep throwing shit at you. You're just like, fuck. So for me, it stays the same. I think I've rated it 7,500 last time. I'm going to keep it at 7,500. It's this show. That's one of the things that I remember loving about the show is its consistency and the pacing, like we were saying, Keenan. So I'm here for it.
Rob?
Yeah, I like these episodes. I would definitely say that the last three certainly ramped it up a bit. Like when they made the reveal of the other Death Note out there, it was just like, oh shit! Like this is that was a big shock, and I think it injected some new lifeblood into it. Because while I thought the first episode with Naomi was, you know, maybe one of my favorite episodes that we've seen so far, that back and forth between Light and Naomi I thought was really interesting to watch, and then that just revelation at the end of it was just brutal. But the couple episodes after that where, like, you know, they're playing tennis and getting into school, it did dip a little bit for me. Not significantly, not nearly so much that I was falling asleep, but bringing that second Death Note into it, I thought really brought the tension back up. I like where it's going. I want to see what's next. You know, even though these are a lot of episodes, I don't even necessarily notice that they're going by. You know, they're very digestible, super interesting to watch. It's a great pace. I don't like Light, but he's interesting to watch. You know, I'm definitely still Team L at this point. I would say favorite moment is probably the end of that episode with Naomi, like when he finally got her name and then made his confession, and just even that subtle animation of her realization, you watching it the second time doing my recaps, like I was just like, damn, like that was such a good moment. Like not a good moment, but like just a really well told moment, I thought. And
right,
even the animation of her just walking up the gallows steps to the noose was just, oh, just brutal. That would probably be my favorite part. My least favorite part, this is nitpicky, I understand there's no story without coincidence, but it's just like, how coincidental is it that out of the entire world, the second Death Note winds up in like the next door neighborhood to Light?
That's not coincidental though, because remember they were saying like the Shinigami was just like, hey, I'm going to go fuck with this shit too. So he wanted to be somewhere near the other Shinigami. So for me, I don't feel like that was coincidental.
But it was just like she gave him... She went there because that girl had been the reason the other Shinigami died. And so she just went to her because of that situation, not necessarily because... That's not the impression I got. I got the impression that she went there because of... Misa.
Wasn't there... What about that scene where we're in the Shinigami world where the Shinigami were all talking about...
Yeah, they're like, oh, what's he up to? But she's not... She's not in that scene.
Oh.
I don't believe she's in that scene. I did... Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think she's there.
I remember when one of the Shinigami in that scene was like, I'm going to go down. And that's
what... Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, wait, he did, but I think that world might... the Shinigami world might know what's going on, so they might, but they didn't show her. I wish they would have showed her, so that makes more sense, what you're saying, Rob.
Yeah.
Like, all right, yeah.
Because it just so happened that this girl that happened to be being watched by the Shinigami is literally in the same town as Light. It's like, I guess that portal just must dump out into their town. Like, you know what I mean? So that was a little bit like, all right, like, I feel like it's stretching the believability a little bit. I mean, you know, it's a crazy ass show anyway. But that for me, nitpicky, I'm still, that doesn't dissuade me. But that puts me at like a 7,200 instead of a 7,500. So that's where I'm at. It's a 72.
What was Isis rating?
7,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's still solid across the board for all of us.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So let us know what you guys think, man. What is your rating for these six? What is your rating for right now? I guess the 14 that we have. For the rest of the team, don't put spoilers in the comment section. Because, you know, some of us have seen it, some of us haven't. So you don't got to put the spoilers in there. I wouldn't mind because I've already seen it. It's not going to bother me.
Yeah, even though he hates knowing.
Thank you, Rob. I was like, I know he's waiting for me to say something. I've already said my piece about this motherfucker.
And let us know, answer the questions that we always ask in the comment section. Let us know what you guys think. So far, I think it seems like we're all enjoying it. We got like fucking 30 episodes to go still, or like 20 episodes.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're like, what, a third of the way through?
So many episodes. Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
You wanted this.
I did too, but I forgot it was that many episodes. Damn. I thought it was like the classic one season 26 or some shit like that.
It's one season. It's just... It's a hell of
an extended one season.
It's a hell of a run.
So go ahead, drop your stuff, Brennan.
At Mr. Producer Face on Venmo and the Gram, as well as Syracuse Ain't Shit.
Ice at McGowan, all his stuff like that. Go ahead, Rob.
RV Danger on Instagram.
No petty back. Okay.
I just let the results speak for themselves.
Ooh. Jab, jab, uppercut.
Hey, when was it that Michigan State knocked out Syracuse from the Syracuse didn't make it that year. That's right. Okay, nothing. Go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's the one year. We still been more times than you.
We still won more times than you.
Still.
Just saying. We've won more. Like, that's what is...
Oh, what are you, Michigan or Michigan State? You can't
Michigan State. I'm Michigan State.
I don't even take Brennan's Michigan State like talk seriously because he just adopted it. You know what? My favorite team's Duke. How about that?
I hate
Duke. I'm a Tar Heel fan. That's like been to the beginning, but yeah. I'm Keenan Baker at everything. And, you know, make sure you follow us on YouTube.
I wore your face today, Brennan. I wore your face today. And this is how you do me?
Oh, my God.
Oh man, antagonizing Rob is one of my favorite things, guys. I'm so, I can't help it. Nobody else does it.
So yeah, Keenan Baker on everything, Animation Podcast on all platforms, and don't forget, this is the greatest.
You didn't have to do that.
I had to, bro.
No, it's you didn't. Only- you didn't. We were so close.
I wish that was one of his questions. What is the greatest anime podcast of all time?
That would have been the best. Like, if he would have done that,
halfway through the podcast. I was like, oh, I didn't say it for him because I know nobody else is going to say it. So I was just like, I'm going to end it with that.
All right.
So, yeah. All right, man. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. Peace. See you next week.
And so anime was solved forever.